Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and I am glad in it. Give God the glory, the praise. Thank you for joining us today, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to be ministering today about rejection. The other side of rejection, the other side of being dissed, is the title of the message today. And it is, what does it mean when people reject you? There's a hidden message that God wants you and I to know about it. It's significant, it's important, and it's going to make a difference in your life. Get your Bible, pencil, paper. Get ready for the Word of God. Thank you for joining us. Father, we honor you today. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We thank you. You kept us all week, gave us a mind and heart to be in the house of prayer today. Thank you. Thank you for keeping us from hurt, harm, and keeping us away from hurt, harm, and danger. We come today praying and interceding for one another right now. We pray for the persons whose hands we hold. We call their name out before your throne. We believe and know that you are God that rules and reigns, that you're in charge. Regardless of the assignment of the enemy, you're in charge, God. And we pray in Jesus' name for that person. We call their name out. We pray for healing and deliverance and breakthroughs and miracles in their life. Whatever they stand in the need of, God, step in and work it out in the name of Jesus. Rebuke the assignment of the enemy. Bind him on every side. Bring victory and healing in our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we pray now in the name and through the blood of Jesus that you would save somebody who needs salvation. Reclaim a backslider, Lord. Draw a person who has drifted away back to you. We pray that somebody who is uncertain about their faith, uncertain about which direction they're going to go in, that God, you would just make yourself real and relevant to them in Jesus' name. Give them assurance. And God, we pray for those who are already believers who need a place, that God, if this is the place you've called, settle them at this place. Don't let them wait another moment or another day, but to make that decision today. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that join us through so many various means, that you would speak to them, transcend the internet, radio, and television. And God, let the power of your word minister life in Jesus' name. Now, thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you've already ordained to be done. And we give you credit and praise ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm going to read these first three verses. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. I want to talk about the other side of being dissed. Look at your neighbor and say, the other side of being dissed. Look at somebody else and tell them there's another side of being dissed. All right, you can be seated. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah, matter of fact, really much of the Old Testament prophesies about the coming Messiah. The Old Testament spent a lot of time giving prophetic utterances and insights into the Messiah that the Jews were waiting to come. And many of the verses and passages in the Bible gives us insight and information about the Messiah, of what he's going to look like and how they were to know when he showed up. One of the things they said about him, Isaiah prophesies right here in these verses of chapter 53. He says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He says in verse 2, there's no form of comeliness that when we see him, and that there's no beauty that we would desire him. He's not a good looking man. But then he says this, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Verse 3, he was despised and we did not esteem him. What he is in essence saying is that you will be able to tell the coming Messiah by virtue of the fact that he will be rejected by men. I thought I would talk about this with you all for a few moments today. He came and he was rejected by men, and the Jews did not recognize who he was, and so they didn't recognize him and they rejected him. Here the Son of God, God wrapped up in human form, comes to earth and he is rejected. I wanted to talk about this because there is a lesson for us to learn. Now I'm going to do something today in this message that I don't like to do, but I have to do it. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you my punchline. Because when they tell you when you're preaching a sermon, you hold back the point you're really trying to make till the end. They tell you to build up to it, and then at the end, make the point, punch him in the face, drop the mic, walk off the stage. But I'm not going to hold the punchline to the end. I'm not going to hold the principle I want to highlight. I'm going to give it to you up front. Then I'm going to spend the rest of the time of this message today trying to highlight this point. And what is the point I want to make? The point I want to make in this message today is drawn from the example of Jesus. Jesus was rejected of men. And what I want to talk to you about today is that rejection. When you are in a state of being rejected, and many of you have gone through life and have had experiences and you've been rejected and despised, but some of you don't understand what it means. Here's what it is. I'm about to drop it here. I'm about to give it to you. I'm about to lay it on you. Here it is. When you are rejected by men, it is a sign and indication from God that he has something special for you in your life. I need you to get that. I need you to understand that when they walk away from you, when they won't give you the raise, when they call you names, when they don't invite you to their parties, when you work hard on your job and they don't give you a promotion, when you have all of that going on in life and you get issue after issue after issue and rejection after rejection and challenge after challenge, there is a reason for that rejection. You have the choice. You can get bitter, you can get mad, you can get upset, you can fight back, you can call them names, you can go and try to mess them up, you can do all kinds of things, but you would not be responding the way God wants you to respond. The way he wants you to respond is this. He wants you to know that when you are rejected by men, it means God has something special for you. Ooh, I should have got a few more amens on that point than that. As a matter of fact, I grew up in the course of my life, I grew up being rejected on a lot of places and courses. I wish I knew then what I know now. I wish I knew when they didn't pick me to play the games, be in the streets playing football. And they choose up sides. They say, I don't want John. You can have John. He ain't nothing. I didn't know. I didn't know when I was in high school and they would have parties and they wouldn't invite me. Or when I had a party, they didn't come. I didn't know when all the girls didn't want to give me their phone numbers. Don't laugh too hard on that point right there. I didn't understand when I applied to all of these churches and none of these churches would choose me. I, I didn't know then that God didn't want me to fit in. Y'all got to get that. You got to get that. You got to understand that when you don't fit in, God does not want to fit in. Some of y'all are doing crazy things to fit in. You are compromising who you are to fit in. You are doing things that you weren't created to do and trying to be something that you're not, just to fit in, just to be accepted, just to be liked. God does not want you to fit in. When you are rejected by men, God is trying to tell you, I got something special for you. Somebody high five your neighbor if you know what I'm talking about. Say, that's a word for me. I receive that right now. This is an important deal. You need to get this. I need you to get it down in the core of who you are. Because if you don't understand this, you will compromise. You will do a lot of stuff you shouldn't be doing. You'll go places you shouldn't be going. You'll try stuff you shouldn't be trying. You'll find yourself trying to fit in. And here's what I discovered that the reason God doesn't want you to fit in is because where He is about to take you, He doesn't want anybody else to get the credit for it. I feel a shout coming up on me already when I think about it. He doesn't want you to fit in, because if you fit in and when you get to where you're going, they'll try to take credit for it. God is saying, I don't want them to try to take credit for what He does, only what He does. And I can look back now and see, I didn't know it growing up. I didn't know it when they didn't like me and they didn't want me around, and I didn't know that. And so my assignment today, what I want to talk to you about today, it's 106. I promise I'd be finished by 3:30, 4 o'clock at the latest. I want to plead my case with you. I want to prove this point to you. I want to try to articulate this to you the best way I know how. And the best way I know how, because this is a principle and a truth that is reflected in multiple places throughout the scriptures. There's multiple people that you can find who didn't fit in, and God didn't want them to fit in, and God elevated them to heights and places that they never dreamed or imagined. And I want to just take one of these persons and talk about them today. I want to talk about David. Now, David is he's a joker. He's got some problems in his life. He killed Saul's murderer. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And when she got pregnant, he tried to cover it up. He had her husband killed. He's a joker. But God uses him. God elevates him. And if God could elevate David with all of this crap, there's some hope for you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's some hope for you. Did y'all tell your neighbor there's some hope for them with all the, as nasty as you is and all the stuff you done and the places you have been and the way you have behaved? If God could use David, He can use you too. What amazes me about David is that the scripture says in Acts 13, by the way, I have a ton of verses, but I'm not going to be able to turn to them. Y'all too slow. I'm not going to wait for y'all. Y'all got to write them down. Write the verses down and look them up. Study them later when you get an opportunity. But Acts 13 says he's a man after God's own heart. Wow, that's amazing, that description of him. That in spite of all this stuff this man did, all this evil, all this wicked stuff he did, adultery, murder, all of that stuff he did, yet God says he still had a heart after God. That amazes me, but it blesses me because it gives me hope for myself and hope for you. But his story, David finds himself in a series of events in his life where he got rejected. A series of them. And what they're all indications of is that God has something magnificent He's going to do in His life. And I would hope that y'all would allow me a few moments to just walk through these moments of rejection. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to talk about times when David got rejected. Go ahead, look at him, tell him. And I want to walk through these because some of you are going to find yourself in similar rejection moments. And what I'm trying to do is drive home to you the point that whenever you get rejected, it is God's way of telling you, I don't want you to fit in. Now, write this down. Here's the first one. He first of all got rejected by his family. I love this. I love the 12 o'clock service because I can take my time and talk about everything. Y'all might be mad y'all came to this service because I'm going to give you the whole ball of wax. I'm giving you the whole can of the soup. I'm cooking the whole chicken rotisserie style. Y'all going to get everything. His first rejection, he got rejected, point one, by his family. Somebody say amen. Rejected by his family. He got rejected by his family. And it started in 1 Samuel 16. Jot it down. Don't have time for you to turn there. You're too slow. 1 Samuel 16, verses 6 through 11. He got rejected, started by his family. And it started with his father. Now, here's the deal. He got rejected by his father. The prophet Samuel was told by God that the next king of Israel is coming out of Jesse's house. Go to Jesse's house and anoint the next king of Israel. And so Samuel goes to Jesse's house and tells Jesse, one of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel. Bring your sons and I'm going to figure out which one it is. And so Samuel bought a vial of oil. And he sought to pour it out over the sons of Jesse. And he tried to pour it out. And with the first son, he tried to pour it out, but the oil wouldn't come out of the vial. Then he tried to pour it on the second son and the third son. He went through seven sons. And the oil would not pour. I wish y'all knew the Bible. I wouldn't have to teach this to you. It wouldn't pour. He went through seven sons. So Samuel says, surely you must have another son because I know God told me that the next king is coming out of your house. There must be somebody else. And Jesse says, surely you don't mean David. Did y'all hear it? He got dissed. He got rejected. He was looked over. He was not considered. His father did not think that it would possibly be, out of all of the sons that he had, it could not possibly be David that would be the person that would be that. He said, could you bring him here? And the moment David walked in the room, Samuel turned the vial and the oil came pouring out. I wish I had some people that didn't know the word that was with me. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, his father overlooked him, didn't consider him, didn't think he was an option, didn't give him consideration. He dissed him. But God had chosen him. Shortly thereafter, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, jot that down, chapter 17, verses 20 through 28, verses 20 through 28 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. Did I say it was 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 20 through 28? Some of his brothers are in the army, the Israeli army, and they are off to war. And his father sends David down to the battle to take his brothers some food and to check on the war. So David goes down to the battle area with food. And when he gets down there, he sees something that shocks him. He sees the Israeli army on the battlefield overhiding in a ditch. And the Philistine who they were fighting, champion whose name is Goliath, is standing out in the middle of the field. Because the Philistines had issued a challenge to the Israelis, to the Israeli army. He said, if you will send out your champion and we'll send out our champion and we'll let those two fight and whoever wins, that army will be the victorious army. But when he gets down there, when David gets down there, he sees to his surprise, Goliath standing in the middle of the battlefield waiting for an Israeli soldier to come out and battle. And so for weeks, every day, Goliath comes out to the battlefield and waits for somebody to come and do battle, and nobody comes out. Are y'all with me? Have I lost you yet?
David comes down and says, what's going on? What's the deal here? Why is the army of the living God hiding over in a ditch? Why is the army who has the living God on their side hiding over in a ditch? They answer him and say, well, the king has offered to whoever will go out and do battle, the king has offered that he will give his daughter's hand in marriage, he will exempt the soldier from taxes, and he will make the soldier rich. David said, what did the king offer? Then he says, I'll go out and fight their champion. And right instantly, his brothers bark out to him and say, you're too young. What you doing down here? You ain't got no business down here. Take yourself on back home. His brothers reject him. Are y'all with me? Have I lost you yet? Are y'all walking with me? I don't want y'all to get confused. I want y'all to hang with me. Tell your neighbor, don't fall asleep. Hang with the pastor for a few minutes. So that's number one. He got rejected by his family. He got rejected by his father. He got rejected by his brothers. Now, the story goes on. Now, let me go on to point two. He not only got rejected by his family, he got rejected by his employer. Well, let me spend a few moments talking about this point for just a couple seconds. Because some of you are in a place where your boss and your employer has rejected you. They've given everybody else a promotion but you. You're the best worker, but they haven't given it to you. They've looked around and they've seen your work, but they don't recognize. They promoted other people around you, but not you. David is finding himself. He is an employee of the government. I'm preaching better than y'all are saying amen. He works for the king, Saul. He works for Saul. His assignment is to go and play the harp for Saul whenever Saul gets distressed. He plays the harp. He's supposed to play the harp. And so the king gets distressed. He goes out and plays the harp. And the king gets soothed in his spirit. And that's his job. That's what he gets paid for. But on this battle situation, his boss says, also, you're too young. You're too young. You don't have no armor. You've never been trained. You've never been on the battlefield. Matter of fact, the king says, Goliath is a trained, equipped soldier. You can't go out and battle him. So now he has gotten rejected by his boss. You're only a child, he says. Matter of fact, the boss rejects him twice. Not only does the boss reject him at this moment that he volunteers to go and fight Goliath. He goes out, kills Goliath, chops off his head. As the army is marching back into the city, the streets are lined with people and with the women, and they are shouting David's praise. They are singing a song. They said, Saul has killed his thousands. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed 10,000. I wish y'all knew the Bible. I wouldn't have to take y'all through this. So the people are singing David's praise because he has killed Goliath. He took his slingshot, 5 stones, went out on the battlefield, killed Goliath, chopped off his head, and now he finds himself marching in the city with the rest of the army, and the people have lined the streets, and the women are singing David's praise, and Saul gets mad. Why are they talking about David? Saul say, I'm the king. And so from that moment on, Saul rejects David and tries to kill him. Are y'all with me? Matter of fact, on a couple of occasions, Saul throws his spear in an attempt to kill the man who has served him, who gave him the victory. He gets rejected. As a matter of fact, David ends up going on the run. He ends up leaving his good government job. I'm almost finished. He finds himself on the run because Saul has now issued a search warrant for him. And the whole army is looking for him because they want him dead. And so David ends up running into a cave. Unknownst to him, in the cave are a bunch of rejects. Y'all not helping me preach this. I'm going somewhere. Somebody say we're going somewhere. In that cave are men who are discontent, in debt, and in distress. And they ask David to be their leader. And David becomes their leader. David becomes their leader. And so now he has joined himself because he's on the run. He's joined himself to this bunch of rejects. Now follow the story. I'm going somewhere. This man has got issue after issue happening to him. His father rejected him. His brothers rejected him. His boss rejected him. Now he's joined to some rejects. And now they're in debt. They're in distress. They're discontent. They need a job. So they go, listen to this, and join the Philistine army. Y'all missed it. That went over your head. Let me tell you. They went and joined the army that he had just earlier killed their champion. Okay, y'all not getting that. It would be like a Washington Redskin becoming a Dallas Cowboy. That's the kind of situation. It's like, it's unheard of. It's unbelievable. Some things just don't happen. He joins with them. And so they're getting employed and paid by the Philistine army, and now they're about to do battle with the Philistines. The Philistines are about to do battle with the Israelis again. They're about to do battle again. And the general of the Philistine army is inspecting his soldiers, and he notices these Jewish boys in the army. He said, "Oh no, y'all can't fight. Y'all can't go to us to battle against the Israelis, because y'all are Jews yourself, and y'all might switch up." So they get fired. Now he's been rejected by the enemy. You know you in bad shape when the enemy don't want you. I'm almost finished. Can y'all hang with me for just a few more moments? I'm coming to a close. I'm bringing it in for a landing. I'm almost finished. I'm trying to paint the point here. I'm trying to get you to see the picture that I want you to get. And now he finds himself with these bunch of rejects who have now been fired from their job with the Philistine army. And they go back to their camp. They make it back to their homes where their wife and children are. And when they get back, they see that the camp has been set on fire. Their tents have been burned down. And their wives and children have been taken captive. And now the men start crying. And you know what the scripture says? They cry until they have no more tears to cry. Now you know it's bad when men cry till they ain't got no more tears to cry. They cried till they have no more tears to cry. And here's what the scripture says. The men, these rejects, spoke of stoning David. You know you're in bad shape when you're being rejected by the rejects. Can I get a help? Can I get somebody to say amen? Anybody? He'd been rejected by his father, rejected by his brothers, rejected by his boss. Now he's rejected by his co-workers. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody isn't here has made everybody else have to sit through this sermon. But you've been rejected after rejection, after rejection, after rejection. You're not liked here. You're not liked there. They don't accept you here. They don't accept you there. And God told me to make everybody else sit through this sermon so I can tell you by yourself there's a reason why you've been rejected. It's because God says, "I got something special for you." Somebody shake two or three hands and say, "God must have something special for me." Shake two or three hands if that's you. Whoever it is, I'm trying to figure out who it is. Who is it that their family don't like them? Who is it that your family don't love you? Who is it your brothers or your sisters have pushed you to the side? Who am I
I'm talking to. You've worked hard and gave your time to this job, and they haven't recognized your work or your effort. Who is it that I'm preaching to that your co-workers haven't treated you the way you think you ought to be treated? Who am I preaching to?
Can I give you one more thing? He got rejected by his spouse. Yeah, I knew there would be some rumbling when I got to that point. Can I tell you when he got rejected by his spouse? Let me tell you this one last story. I'll be done. Thank you. One person. Praise the Lord. David becomes king. All these rejections are signals, and he becomes king. But God still has great things in store for him because he has yet another rejection. So he's now king, and he goes to get the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant contains some sacred components, the Ten Commandments and some other things that are revered and honored among the children of Israel. And it's inside this Ark of the Covenant. But the Ark of the Covenant is not in Jerusalem. It's in another city. They're going to go get it. So they go get it. They find it. They got it. They're bringing it back. And as they're bringing it back, shortly after they start bringing it back, it starts tilting and it starts wobbling and is about to fall, and one of the servants reaches up to stop it from falling, and he is struck dead instantly. And they put it down. They recognize something's not right, and they end up leaving it where it is. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me for just a few moments. They end up leaving it there for several months so they can figure out what the problem is. Why then has the situation arose that the people, this person died because he touched it? Then they figured out they were carrying it the wrong way. There was a way for it to be carried, and they weren't carrying it the right way. They were carrying it the wrong way. And so when the man touched it, he wasn't supposed to touch it. That's why he died. So now David has figured out what the issue is. He's figured out they've carried it the wrong way. They're going to go back and get it. So they go back and get it. They go back, but this time they're going to carry it the way God said they're supposed to carry it. And so they put it up and they're carrying it. And while they're carrying it, nobody dies. And here's what the scripture says. They go 6 paces. And after 6 paces, he said, let's stop. Let's shout right here. Let's just give God some praise right here. Somebody better learn how to give God praise, even though you haven't gotten where you're going. Just give God the praise that I've made some progress. Give God a shout. I've gone further than I've gone before. Give God praise. I've been successful. I didn't make it 6 paces the last time, but I made it 6 paces this time. Let's go ahead and shout. Who am I preaching to today? You got to give God the praise. You've gone further than you've ever gone before. You haven't arrived. You haven't got to where you're going, but you've gone further. So they go 6 paces and they stop and they dance and they shout. They pick it back up and then they take it back to Jerusalem. When they get into the city, I'm almost finished. As they march into the city, David is so excited to have the Ark of the Covenant back in the city that he starts dancing. As he's marching in, he's so excited that he dances out of his clothes. Somebody said he was really dancing and he danced out of his clothes. While he was dancing out of his clothes and celebrating that the Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem where it belongs, his wife is sitting in the window watching him dance out of his clothes. When he comes into the palace, his wife said, "You sure made a fool out of yourself." Some of you have been discouraged because you were expecting an encouragement from somebody
who should have celebrated with you. Who should have been shouting with you. Should have been dancing with you. But instead they rejected you. Talked about you. Laughed about you. Criticized you. And my assignment is just to tell you, it's just a sign that God got something special for you. Come on, somebody give God a shout right there. As a matter of fact, I'll throw this in for free too. I won't charge y'all extra for this. As a matter of fact, you should have the same attitude that David had. Because when she said to him, you made a fool of yourself, you should respond like David said. David said, if you thought I was jacked up, wait till you see me dance the next time I dance. Somebody better get this in your heart. The next time I dance, the next time I celebrate, the next time I give God the glory, you might not like what I did today, but the next time I'm going to give God an undignified praise. Hey! Hey! All the hell I've been through, everything God brought me out of, every victory he's given me, every prayer that he's answered, everything that he lifted me up out of. You think I'm going to sit quiet? I can't help but praise him. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Who am I preaching to? Who is this word for? Who? Hey! Get this in your spirit. Get this in your heart. When you are rejected by men, it means God has something special. I wish I could get some people who got that in your soul. It means you are special. It means he has a special assignment for you. Matter of fact, after every one of David's moments of rejection, God did something significant for him. When his father looked him over and rejected him, the oil started flowing. Y'all missing a great spot to shout.
When his brothers rejected him, he went out and killed Goliath. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. When Saul tried to kill him, God gave him the victory and restored everything the enemy had taken. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but they rejected you, talked about you, didn't want you, but it's okay. God has got your back. God has got your gift. God has got your cause. So, you're in good company. Moses got dissed by Pharaoh. Joseph got dissed by his brothers. Paul got dissed by the early church. Jesus got despised and rejected. But every one of them, God did something spectacular in their lives. You may have been dissed, disliked, dismissed, dismayed, disappointed, discarded, disavowed, disinherited, discounted, disapproved, disadvantaged, discharged, but lift up your hands. When you get dissed by man, it means God is about to discover you. You've been rejected. They didn't see you. They didn't recognize you. They didn't choose you. They didn't want you because they couldn't see. God had you covered. God had you hidden. He didn't want you to be in the group. He didn't want you to be a part of the club. He's waiting for the time to when he will discover you and put you on display. Somebody say, I've been dissed, but there is another side of being dissed. Hey! Wow! Wow! Thank you, Jesus. I got dissed by girls. I got dissed by sports teams. I got dissed by churches. But hey, look at me now. Who am I preaching to? Go ahead and give him praise. Say, God, I received that word. I thank you, God. I don't fit in. I'm not a part of the group. And I know you got something special for me. Go ahead and give him praise. Bless his name.
Glory to his name. Praise his name. This, there is another side of being dissed. I know now. I wish I knew then what I know now. That every time they reject you, every time they look over you, look past you, God's holding you until the time that he will put you on display. Hallelujah. Who am I preaching to? Come here, let me pray for you. Come here. You to get this. This is important. It's a very important message. The devil's gonna make some of you, he's tried to make some of you kill yourself. And you've wrestled and thought about it and contemplated it. Some of you quit your jobs and you've made choices that God didn't tell you to make. All because you got rejected. What you need to know is that's God's way of telling you, you are special. When I was being rejected time after time, applying at all these churches, and they didn't call me back, and they didn't want me. Tons. I got so frustrated, I stopped applying to churches. But I didn't know that God had another situation. And right now, I'm praising him that none of those other churches called. And you got to get to a place that instead of crying about what didn't happen, you have to say, God, I thank you. I know you got something that you're holding for me. I don't know when, I don't know where, but I know you're going to do something. That's what you got to do. You got to just hold tight. Stay faithful to God. Don't change who you are or what you stand for. Stay the course, and in due season, you shall reap if you faint. Woo.
Father, in Jesus' name. All over this building, all across the internet, are your sons and daughters who've been trying to fit in. But God, we confess and we repent. We will wait till our change comes. Forgive us for looking for acceptance from people when we should have been looking for affirmation from you. Forgive us, Father. We purpose from this day forward not to look for the acceptance of people, but God, to look for you. Thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and give him praise for... Hallelujah! I know I'm way over time. I'm sorry. But just a 12 o'clock service, y'all say I can take my time. I'm sorry I'm so late. But thank you for hanging with me. Now, is there anybody here today, unsaved, backslidden, you're not sure, or you need a church home? Hold up your hand. Unsaved, you need forgiveness, or you're back. Just stay where you are, everybody. Just don't move. Just stop where you are. Just hold up your hand. If you're not saved, you want to get saved, you want to accept Jesus, you're not sure, you want assurance, or you're backslidden, you want to rededicate, or you are saved already, but you need a church home. Just hold up your hand high so I can see where you are, and we can get you straight today. I know you're here. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you, baby. Anybody else? I see you, sweetheart. Hold your hand up. I see you back there, young man. God bless you. I see you back there. God bless you. I see you, man. I see you. Make your way. Y'all stay where y'all are. Just let them through. Come on up here. Come up here quickly. Make your way. Come on. Just make your way. Just make your way. Come on up here. Come. Come on up here. Come. Praise the Lord. Give them an encouragement. Come on. Come on. Come. Come. Come on up here. Come on. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. That's right. Come. Praise the Lord. Keep. Come on up here. Come on. Praise the Lord. Bless his name. Praise him. Praise his name. Wonderful. Wonderful, Jesus. Wonderful. Wonderful. So proud of you. God bless you. Best decision in the world. Best decision in life. Step right here. Step right here. Step right here. Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's some others. Where are you? Come on. Come on. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Amen. Nothing to be ashamed about. We are celebrating your decision. Come on. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of y'all. So proud of you. Come on. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. God bless you, buddy. Come on, bro. Come on down here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise him. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Come on. Amen. Come on. Come all the way down here. Come all the way down here. Amen. Praise him. Praise the Lord. Fantastic. Fantastic. All right. I need some counselors. If you're a counselor, I need y'all to come up here. Come on. Not ministers, because I think we're doing baby blessings today. So I need y'all to hold tight, but I need counselors. Y'all take a step forward. All of y'all take a step forward. Yeah, we need counselors. Very good. We're going to hook y'all up with some counselors. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Need one more male counselor right here. Okay. Y'all give the Lord a shout for these people. All right. The person behind you is a counselor. I need one more female, I think. I need a female. Is there a female? Oh, right there. Okay. All right. Great. Person behind you is a counselor. They're going to take you in the back, jack you up. They're going to jack you up. Share the word of God with you. Find out where you are. You're going to be different when you leave here today. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these. Fill them with your power. Break every chain in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all go right on out that way. Go ahead. Follow him. Yeah, give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout.
Who can stand for us when we call on that prayer?